You're listening to The Blind Spot, a podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of The Blind Spot. I am Martin Sigsworth, TPT Senior Employment Manager. We're joined today by Helen, who is TPT's newest trustee. She has over 12 years' experience working in HR. Today, we will be discussing accessibility in the workplace and the importance of having a diverse workforce. Also has some tips and advice for blind and partially sighted people that might be looking for work. So thank you for joining us today, Helen. I guess a good starting point would be for me to ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, so firstly, I'm absolutely flattered to be here. It's a great privilege to have the opportunity to join the Board of Trustees. As an individual, I'm really a HR professional by trade. I'm extremely passionate about all things HR. As a person, I would describe myself as extremely down to earth and very approachable. In my spare time, I support two charitable organisations in addition to TPT that carry the same theme of empowering individuals and communities to thrive. Overall, I've always been interested in equality and diversity and also disability, both in terms of inside and outside of the workplace.
That all sounds fantastic. And what is it that you do kind of day to day in your current role?
So in my current role, I'm a HR business partner. So my role can be anything from very strategic to dealing with matters such as org design, defining the future of the organisation, looking into areas such as future of work, but also assisting employees with matters and questions and queries. We also have scenarios at work whereby we've got different employee focus groups and forums. We've got a disability network. So I do spend a lot of time really looking into how to make the workplace a lot more diverse.
Okay, fantastic. So you mentioned that you are a trustee of for another charitable organisation. What was it that interested you in the role at Thomas Pocklington Trust?
Well, overall, my nan is blind. So over the years, I've come to learn the barriers faced by those who are experiencing gradual sight loss. But also now is a very exciting time to be joining the organisation, particularly in light of some of the shifts that we've been seeing out there during COVID, such as diversity even more so entering the spotlight, coupled by the fact that a lot of people in the UK have been working from home and using technology more so than ever before. My background in HR has certainly given me a realistic view of the challenges that organisations, HR professionals and also individuals with organisations might face, and I very much understand. For me, joining TPT seemed like a very natural move, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
Brilliant, and we're very pleased to have you with us as well. Is there anything that you are kind of particularly looking to achieve in your trustee role?
So for me at this time, I'm just looking at what's going on out there in the world, really. I mean, the role of trustee is one ensuring the continued good governance within an organisation. And I've been also thinking about the aims, objectives and the purpose of the organisation, which is very strong, and how we can continue to build upon that. And as a board, we're always looking at new ways to help break down the barriers that individuals who have disabilities might face. I recognise that over the past 12 months, there's been a great push for equality in society in general, and organisations are very much aware of the push for equality. Now certainly is a good time to push for change. The other area on my radar is the recognition that technology is a key enabler in making workplaces accessible. So as we've seen this year while working from home, a lot of organisations are very reliant on technology already. The pandemic alone has proven to us that technology is very valuable. And this is really good news, especially when considering that technology can be instrumental in enabling individuals to be able to get work done to high standards. If you think already we have great technology, but we know that there's an opportunity to bring about change, and part of that change will be making sure that the technology that employers look to use in future is going to be suited to individuals and will complement. So I think for us as an organisation, the pursuit in terms of making sure that we are testing out and identifying top quality technology and making recommendations to organisations is going to be very valuable.
So looking in your current role in HR, we often get asked a lot as an employment team about making reasonable adjustments and employers' attitudes to making these adjustments. So looking back over your career, what adjustments have different employers made to accommodate different people's disabilities in the workplace, and how easy or otherwise were these to implement?
So I think my first point here really is that HR professionals and business leaders definitely always want to do the right thing, and they always start out with very good intentions. And one of the most important points to note is that each individual within the workplace has got to be viewed very differently and treated differently, because everybody's going to have slightly different needs. Now, employers always are aware of the differences. In terms of what I've seen as very successful, I think the most successful approach has been sitting down with an individual, spending time to understand what reasonable adjustments can be made, what their strengths are, and then reaching out to resources such as local charities who might have the specialist expertise in certain areas or even access to work, to make sure that as an employer you really are doing everything you can to first of all fully understand what reasonable adjustments could be implemented, but also make sure that you and the individual working together to make sure that the individual is set up for success in their employment. In terms of adjustments made, they have always varied by individuals.
You know, thinking about the adjustments which can be made to facilitate people with disabilities in the workplace, why do you think that having diversity in the workplace is important?
Considering the fact that we live in a very diverse world today, having true understanding of diversity is absolutely critical for the success both of individuals and also for organisations. It makes business sense for organisations to be able to understand their employees, stakeholders, and also their customers and clients. And if you look at countless studies that have been published online and conducted, countless studies have concluded that diversity makes for strong teams and better performing organisations. So the facts are out there. And in addition, individuals who have or have had disabilities in the past are very used to facing and overcoming barriers. So whether those barriers are social, physical, or otherwise, one of the strengths that comes from overcoming barriers is the ability to develop exceptional problem-solving skills and develop strengths that you might not otherwise look to develop. And regularly, we are seeing that what comes from diversity is innovation. So innovation in terms of bringing different perspectives, different mindsets, and different skills.
So bearing that in mind, you know, the strengths that different individuals and different perspectives can, you know, bring to an organisation and to a sector, what changes do you think need to happen so more employers hire people with disabilities? And what advice would you give to any employers that were looking to do that?
The greatest learning for employers is to recognise that each individual is different. And often we do find in the UK that you have a number of people who might be trying to gain access to employment. So they might be going through the recruitment process. They might be experiencing accessibility barriers. And often I would advise employers to think about the use of surveys. So asking potential candidates at interview stage whether or not they have accessibility needs, maybe even sending out automated surveys through the recruitment portal as well to try and gather feedback as to how the interview process is going, so that you can capture any scenarios whereby individuals might not be able to give their best selves at that time. I would also advise employers to really spend time training up their HR staff, so whether that's sending your HR team on away days to better understand different accessibility needs and better educate them in terms of diversity. And they have a number of learnings that smaller organisations could learn from. HR professionals out there are trying to take steps to make a difference. And I think partnering with organisations such as the CIPD to ask what is it that the HR profession could do more of would be extremely valuable, because I think by asking those questions, you're going to prompt a change and prompt a different way of looking at things. And if I just look back at my career, time and time again, I've had HR colleagues reach out to me asking me what to do if an employee declares that they have a disability. My advice to HR professionals is always to spend time, sit down with the individual, speak to them and find out how we can make the workplace more accessible. It's only by having those conversations are you really going to get the full best answers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And if any employers are listening to this today and are interested in how they can make their recruitment processes more accessible or are keen to understand how they could help more blind and partially sighted people in the in their workplace, please do feel free to contact us at Thomas Pocklington Trust. All our information will be at the end of this podcast. It's also worth flagging that there is support out there for employers with the costs involved in employing somebody with a disability, and more information can be found out by Googling access to work. So far we've spoke a lot about the the changes which organisations and employers can make to make their workplaces more accessible for people with disabilities. But what can candidates do to increase their chances of securing employment?
The advice I would give to anyone is to focus on your strengths, establish what you really want to do in future, create a path to help yourself get to reach your goals in future. Also understand what you're really good at and what you enjoy doing, so you can make sure that in future you spend more time doing what you enjoy. But ultimately, never give up. I mean, I think the route for anyone who's going for an interview process can be quite a challenging one. And the more practice you have, the better, the more likely you are to be successful and get through the process. I would absolutely do that. I mean, I know many people who spent years and years practicing the art of interviewing. The more practice you have, the better you're going to get. As well as that, my advice to candidates is just to get yourself out there and build your network, because there are so many different types of organisations out there. There's so many different types of roles and opportunities. And it's only by doing your research and networking will you really come across those that you might enjoy the most. So if you get rejected during interview processes, I wouldn't ever worry about that. And I think it is character building. I mean, I remember my first job. I went through a number of interviews to get that job in the first place. It was a long-winded exercise, but I got through it. And I realised that as you go through these interview processes, you always gain more and more understanding and you get better at interviewing.
And for any blind and partially sighted candidates out there, Helen, what would your specific advice to those people that are listening be?
I would make sure that you're aware of the types of reasonable adjustments that might be useful for you. It might be very difficult if you're a first jobber thinking about going into the workplace for the first time, but there are resources such as Access to Work that are extremely helpful. As well as that, the TPT has a lot of useful resources online. So we have templates, we have tools, we have a number of resources. I would always recommend that people read our blogs and articles. But also we offer one-to-one support, which includes mock interview practice sessions as well. And you really can benefit from those. So please do get in touch and don't hesitate to reach out to us.
The importance of having a network and how important that can be for securing employment. What tips would you give to people on going about building that network and extending their network?
So the power of the network is one that definitely we don't want to ignore. At the end of the day, when you have the opportunity to get to know somebody, you're forging that relationship. And if you think about organisations today, they have roles coming up all the time. But actually, a lot of organisations might even have a network of candidates for which they draw on when thinking about first stage interviews. So power of the network can really help you get through the first stage of an interview process quite quickly. While I would always advise individuals to apply for job roles, I'd also if you're looking at a certain company, you want to secure a role in that company, I would potentially look at reaching out to employers via LinkedIn, because you might gain insight into the organization from a member of staff who might have inside information, for example, around the way that a sales organization runs, what they're looking for in candidates, what it's like to be an employee there. So I always say to people, pick up the phone. In terms of the network as well, you do find that out there, sometimes employers are looking for particular skills. They might not know where to find the skills. A job description, while they can be very clear, sometimes doesn't give you all the information you need. So I think by having that network and showcasing what you're good at and what you can do for employers and what your key selling points are, you're able to really leverage your network to make sure that you're getting yourself out there, you're getting yourself known, and you're able to sell your skills.
Really great advice. Another question which we're often asked by blind and partially sighted people is around disclosing their visual impairment and at what stage they should do that. What advice as a HR professional would you give to individuals on that topic?
As a HR professional, I would always say to an individual, it really depends. It's all about personal preference. I mean, of course, there are benefits in disclosing in the application form, but I think more effectively is just to pick up the phone and speak to the recruiter and discuss your strengths, what you're really good at, and make that personal connection. Because by doing so, you're opening channels for communication, and you're also giving them the opportunity to get to know you as an individual very quickly, which means that you'll be at the forefront of their minds. If you're applying to a large corporate company, it might be difficult to pick up the phone and speak to the recruiter. In that case, you might want to disclose anyway, just because a lot of the big corporations generally have a policy nowadays that says that if you have a disability, you'll often make it through to the interview stage. I would spend time looking at the website, doing your research about the employer, and just trying to understand, are they disability confident and do they have that recognition or not?
Thanks very much, Helen. That was really, really great. And thank you all for listening. We'll be back soon.
Thank you so much for your time today, Martin.
You've been listening to The Blind Spot, a podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust. If you'd like to find out more about what we do at TPT, check out our website. Go to www.pocklington-trust.org.uk. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episode. Thank you for listening.